Well, it's good to be here. My name is Ivan, for those of you who don't know me. And it is good to be together this morning. It's kind of navigating, what is the Holy Spirit doing this morning? What is God doing? So there's a lot of words coming through. Even from the start of the prayer meeting, it was like this, God, what do you want to do today? And actually, as I arrived this morning, from the start, I had a lot of guys say, I had the words, are you ready? And even last week, we were talking about, are you ready? And so it kind of seems to be this three words that are being sent to us right now. Are we ready? I don't know what we're ready for, but I do know what God wants to do, and that is to pour out His Holy Spirit. So we are celebrating Pentecost Sunday, and we live part of that every day. Pentecost, just saying, Holy Spirit, fill us up for what you want to do. Before I go, I just want to say, I spoke to Barent last night. He is doing well, Leanne. He's in America. If you haven't heard from him, he's sounding good. He's doing well, eating a lot of hamburgers. No, but actually doing really well. Barent leads us, for those of you who don't know. He actually heads up the Melpois congregation. And it sounds like he's having a really good time, but more than doing work, he actually went over for work, but it sounds like he's doing more church work than anything else. Andrew pulled him in. He's preaching twice today. He's preaching in the morning, and he's preaching in the evening, and he's meeting with people till midnight hours. A lot going on. So I spoke to him. He's like, man, I need a holiday after this already. So he sends his love to everybody, and he's doing well there. One of the things he did say is, please get ready for the camp, because he's really trusting, and we are trusting for God to do amazing things. So Dylan spoke really well about the camp. Are you guys ready for the camp? I love what Jackson said last week, glamping. I mean, if I'm not normally the camping kind of guy, but this is good. And just a reminder that next week there will not be a service here. So if you're not camping, there is no one's going to be here. So don't come here. You'll be alone, like Dylan said. You're probably sitting by the gate on your own. But we do want to invite you that if for some reason that you can't get to the camp and it's a valid reason and you're like, well, I just can't get to this camp, please come and drive through on Sunday morning. Be a part of us. It's an hour drive and it's really not far. Come be a part of what God's doing in and through the weekend. It's been an exciting time. We are praying and trusting for amazing things. We have a lot of faith, and I've even heard of a lot of leaders doing what they did in Acts, where they sold their possessions to give to the people that had need. And people have been selling stuff in their homes to make way and make a plan for those that don't have finances to come through and be a part of it. So if you, for some reason, can't be there, and it's a valid reason, like, man, I've got a wedding this weekend. I know James and Jenna in Richards Bay, they have a wedding. And if you can't be there for a valid reason, would you consider, no pressure, but would you consider possibly sponsoring those that can't make it? I think there's about 11 extra couples right now that can't get there due to finances, valid reasons. We've had about over 20,000 rand extra come in to support, but there's about 11 more couples that would love to be there that are just struggling, and we would love to see them there. So if it is, pray about it. Hey, sell a surfboard, sell a skateboard, sell a whatever you got. Don't sell your wife, don't sell your husband, but sell something, and possibly just speak to Leanne afterwards or to Kirsty and say, I'd love to be a part of this and see what God does. But for the rest of us, who's going to be there? Actually, I'd love to, who's going to be there? I won't say who's not going to be there, but yes, awesome. It's going to be a great time, and I'm excited for what God wants to do over the weekend. So we'll speak to you more over the week. And then Andrew sends his love too. He's doing well. Please keep him in prayer. Andrew and Ems and Enya have moved across to California, and they are doing well, but he said it's really taking a toll right now. They're really feeling the sense of them moving across there. And keep praying for them. They need faith. Trying to break new grounds into the Americas is not easy. So keep him in prayer. And he does send his love, and they are doing well all around there. Yep.
So sorry, man. If you want to come through on any of the days, there is a day rate, so you can speak to Kirsten and them about it. If you can only come through one day or whatever, but just speak to them. There is a day rate, obviously, for the cost for the camp. Cool.
Day rate. Sounds good. But let's pray. God, you are awesome. We worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, won't you come, and even what you started this morning, you want to move us more into what you have. Lord, you're asking us this morning, are you ready? Are we ready to experience and be those that will be your hand extended, to cast off all the baggage, all the clothes, that identities that we might hold onto ourselves? But Holy Spirit, this morning, will you come in a fresh way? Move amongst us, Holy Spirit. This is your day. As we celebrate, as we look at Pentecost, what it is and how it applies to our lives today, God, we want to thank you. Holy Spirit, come right now. Open up our hearts. We receive you and do what you want to do in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. In Hawaii, we would always say, everybody said, and they would say, aloha. But We won't do that today. We'll do amen. Sounds good. Building blocks. We've been taking a look at building blocks in the life of the church. And just to recap for those that haven't been here the last few weeks and a few months, actually, God's been doing and building in and amongst us foundational pillars. Barron shared that actually had a series for the first time in many years in Melbourne. We had a series that Barron actually did really, wasn't that good? About deacons. Actually, I really enjoyed it. I took notes. I really enjoyed it. Before that, we looked at communion, one of the pillars in the life of the church. And today, we'd love to take a look at what is Pentecost. And this being one of the pillars, one of the areas actually that we and you as Josh Jen was birthed out of. And there was a time when the Holy Spirit poured out amongst the people in Acts. And we often talk about Acts 2:42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, breaking of bread, to prayer, to fellowship, and what God did during that time. But can we rewind just for a few minutes today and take a look at what God did in the book of Acts right in the beginning? And pretty much Luke was acclaimed to write the book of Acts. He was a doctor. And we're going to just pick up of what Luke said and what he saw in the beginning of the book of Acts. So I'm going to go straight into the Word of God just so we've got some foundation of what we're talking about as we look at Pentecost and what it is. And then how does it apply to our 2024 era that we're living in right now? So, Lauren, if we can go straight on to Acts chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 4 and 5. And while they're staying, and while staying with them in, let me pick up verse 4. And while staying with them, Jesus ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 and 4. Now when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared on them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Can you go back to verse 2? When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, can we say suddenly? Let's try that again. Can we say suddenly? Suddenly. That's something about a suddenly. Who loves those suddenly moments? When all of this good suddenly moments? Sometimes I like them and sometimes I don't. But let's look at the good suddenly moments. I don't like the suddenly moments where I get a bill from SARS or whatever it is. I'd put those aside. But the good suddenly moments where all of a sudden God does something. And actually, the word suddenly overall in the Bible is referred to almost 167 times that you'll see a word relating to the word suddenly. 167 times. So God loves the word suddenly. And there's something about the suddenly moment when it does come. And the first thing as we look at this, we look at three things. But the first thing I see this morning as we look at Pentecost is the word suddenly. Now, suddenly moments come in different forms. And when God pulls in, it's like, man, there are suddenly moments. It can be times like this in worship. We've had them over the years where we've just been like, suddenly God is in the house. Suddenly God is moving in and around and through us. And for me as I've grown up, I gave my life to the Lord when I was 4 years old. I was fortunate to be brought up in a household where people love Jesus, my family, my great-grandfather, my grandfather. So I've come from a generation of people that love the Lord. And at 4 years of age, I gave my life to the Lord. And for me, I was young. I grew up in the Lord. I didn't understand it all, but I slowly grew in the ways of God. And I had a suddenly moment when I turned 9 one day. I was walking on a farm road in Barberton. Who knows where Barberton is? Down the Eastern Transvaal area. I don't know what they call it now. Eastern Transvaal. Mpumalanga. Okay. I've been out of Mpumalanga. That's it. That's your area. You're going there soon. Near Nelspruit. And I was walking down the sand road as a 9-year-old. And I was walking with my dad. And we were just cruising down this road. And we had a farm that we stayed on. And there was a farm where it was a rehabilitation farm for people that had drug addictions, people that were demon-possessed. And we saw a lot of radical things go down there. So as a 4 to 9-year-old, I would watch all these things. And I'd see people speaking in tongues. I'd see people being baptized. And I would watch. I'd evaluate and I'd see. But for me personally, I know I'd given my life to Jesus at 4. But personally, I'd have never been filled completely with the Holy Spirit. And he said, my dad saying to me, my boy, would you like me to pray for you that the Holy Spirit will just fill you? I was like, okay, it's my dad. He gives good gifts. He wants, what dad will give a bad gift to his son? I said, okay, dad, on a sand road, just walking down, and all of a sudden, stand up quickly. Be ready, you might fall over, no joke. He did this. He just laid his hands out. Holy Spirit, come in for my son. Just like that. Wow. Thanks. Get it done before you fall down. Okay. Just like that. And in a moment, suddenly, as a nine-year-old, I had no theology about speaking in tongues. I didn't understand, but suddenly, the Spirit of God touched me. The Holy Spirit filled me. And all of a sudden, shababa rabakuti shiba, and this overflowing tongues and this overflowing expression of the Holy Spirit from within me flooded my soul. I didn't understand. I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop for a few days, actually. This nine-year-old walking around the farm speaking this funny language. I spoke a lot of Zulu. Yeah, it was a Zulu farm. And the Zulu guys would just look at me like, Ivan, what the heck are you speaking? And like, they would hear me and see me speaking this foreign tongue, which was a heavenly download from heaven. But I realized at that moment that God had empowered me as a nine-year-old for what lay ahead. It was a suddenly moment that I got to experience. And we see how important these suddenly moments are in our lives. And so I love the Holy Spirit. I love what He does. I love how He directs my life. I love how He works through us as a church, as Josh Jen, 412, what He's doing. I love what He's doing in your lives. As I've walked with many of you for 15, 16 years, I look across you and say, the Holy Spirit has been doing a work in your life. I look at Luke, yes. God has done a work. He's doing a work. The Holy Spirit is moving these lives. These suddenly moments, be ready for them because God loves to move suddenly. But how do we prepare ourselves for these suddenly moments? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. How do we prepare ourselves? I don't know if we can, actually, but there are some keys that I think will help, and that is, firstly, position. Position yourself, wait for the Holy Spirit, and then obedience. We see in the upper room that they had positioned themselves. Like 120 people got into this upper room. How's that? Upper room. I'm going to start rapping soon. Upper room. 120 people in the upper room. They positioned themselves, and then they waited. They waited patiently. I sometimes wonder if there were more than 120 prior to that time that maybe said, you know what, yeah, I'm tired of waiting. I'm not feeling this thing. I'm kind of over it. I'm tired this morning. I'm going to stay at home. And if there were perhaps more than 120, then some that might have missed out when the Spirit of God came. I hope for us that we are all together in one place. This weekend is on the camp, and you hear about these stories of God pulling in and just the mighty miracles happening and just the move and the suddenly moments coming through and like, oh, I should have been there. No heavy, no pressure, but let's be there. And then obedience. They had obedient hearts. Jesus said to them, go and wait. They were obedient to the call of God. So if we want to experience the Holy Spirit in our lives, these are three keys. First of all, position, wait, and obedience. The Bible says, keep in step with the Spirit of God. Continuously says, walk in step. Keep in step with the Spirit of God. And here we see that they position themselves. They had one heart. We often hear this in Josh Jen. One heart, one mind, one purpose. One heart, one mind, one purpose. And that was to see Jesus lifted up. However that looked, they didn't know what to expect, but they knew something was going to happen. 120 people in an upper room. Now, I'm not sure about this. Probably about 120 people right here, right now. Can you imagine us all, for a couple of days, being in an upper room together? Would you like it? I don't know. I'd be over it pretty quick, to be honest. But some of you would be like, yeah, 120 people. Yeah, I can talk all day and party and worship. Yeah. But for some of us, it'd be like, 120 people in one place at one time. Just get me out. Be me out of there, Scotty. And I think for us, may we be those that learn to live amongst each other. Because when you're 120 people in one room, probably, I don't know how big the room was, but they're rubbing up each other, I'm sure. They had to work out differences. They had to get into unity. They had to really trust God that He would come through. And in that place, there was unity. There was one heart, one mind, one purpose. And with this unity, what does God say? He commands a blessing, the outpouring of His Spirit. And for us, may we be those that have one heart, one mind, one purpose. May we live, may we walk in unity. The differences that we have, the confrontations, yes, we're going to rub each other, 120 of us, 200 of us in this congregation, we are going to rub each other up, believe me. Hey, Steph. I had to apologize to Steph last week, a couple of weeks ago, something I said. I think I had to apologize to John this week, something I said 2 weeks ago. It's like, oh, man, I didn't mean it that way. Bro, I know I offended you. Please forgive me. And we have to walk, we've got to work this thing out continuously that we walk in unity. And it's not easy. Even as elders, we continuously like, oh, man, I'm so sorry. And we try to live in the light. We try to be those that live, have an example. But guess what? We are human. We are not perfect yet. And we are going to mess it up. So please bear with us. As I look across, I know we've probably offended most all of you. Driving past, you're not waving, whatever it might be. And you're like, ah, that guy says he's a pastor. He doesn't even wave at me. I was looking at the waves. I wasn't looking at you. Sorry about that. But let's be those that walk in unity so that God can command a blessing. Is that good? That's a little side nugget. I shouldn't have gone there. But they waited on God. Let's read Acts 1, verse 14. I'm going to read the Amplified version if we have that. It says, all of these, with their minds in full agreement, that's unity, devoted themselves steadfastly to prayer, waiting together with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. All of these with one mind, one heart, one purpose, devoted themselves and to prayer. Now, there's something about seeking and experiencing the presence of God, and really it starts with prayer. And over the next few weeks, we really feel to dive more into the prayer aspect. There's one muscle that we need to get strong again. You know, there's muscles in our bodies. Jake, stand up quickly. I'm going to pick on you. Flex your muscle quick. That was pretty good. Okay. But Ben and I would have done. Okay. I think you should do it again. That was so good. One more time. That was just so good. I want to see it one more time. But face it that way. Other way. Jake's exercising at gym for a sport, but I'm seeing this boy, he's not a little kid anymore. He's actually growing. Yeah. Just be nice to me when you get older, okay? But there is this thing about exercising our muscles, and one of the muscles we are going to touch on is prayer. And God wants this to be a strong muscle, a foundation of ours, a pillar in our lives of our church, and we will touch more on this. But they were devoted in prayer. They were continuously devoting themselves to prayer. And yeah, we see that where there's prayer, there's unity. God commands a blessing, and there's a suddenly moment. Those suddenly moments are birthed out of prayer. When you're praying, desperate for the Lord, he will come through. And for you this morning, listening to this, and it might be your first time, you might have been here 15 years. I know for you, you might have a suddenly moment that you're waiting for the Lord right now. God, suddenly, can't you just break in? Lord, I've been crying out, I've been praying. Lord, for my marriage, if you're going through a marriage situation right now, like, Lord, I need intervention. Can I say, there are those suddenly moments. Keep praying. Keep trusting. God comes through. He's faithful. His timing is perfect. Whatever circumstance, situation you're in right now, and you're like, Lord, I need a suddenly moment. Can I trust with you this morning that God, the Holy Spirit, will come through and break in like he did in the upper room for those people? God loves suddenly moments. Yeah, if you're married right now and you're having that, yeah, I just want to touch on that. Hold your wife's hand if you can, quickly, if she's nearby. If you fought on the way to church, put your arm around her. Anton, I won't say anything. Just hold your wife's hand. God, thank you for the marriages around us. Bless them, God. Father, won't you come, and the ones that need a touch from you right now, Jesus, we pause, we recognize that you are the glue. You, Holy Spirit, come right now. Breakthrough. Where there's been maybe anguish, maybe differences, words said that shouldn't have been said. God, won't you come through right now and touch? Holy Spirit, mend hearts. Trust you, God. Thank you, Father. Amen, amen. Suddenly moments. Second thing that I see as I look at the book of Acts and Pentecost, and this one, I really love this part. I don't know how far I'll get with this. I'm keeping an eye on the time. But suddenly there was a sound. Everybody say sound. Suddenly there was a sound like that of a mighty rushing wind. And there's something about a sound, because a sound often precedes revival. Over the years, we've seen it, how prayer, this is the prayers of people, the sound, the worship precedes revivals that have happened in the past. And yeah, in the same thing in the book of Acts, we are seeing they're together. And I'm wondering what kind of sounds they were with the 120 people in the upper room. I mean, okay, I wouldn't go see some of the young guys smiling. I know there's some certain sounds that we wouldn't want to hear, but what kind of sounds do you think they were? I think of Jake working with us now. There's a lot of sounds that comes out of this kid. But sorry, I'm picking on you this morning. Must in the back row when I preach, okay, Jake? But I'm sure there were sounds of praise. There were sounds of praise, just worshiping the Lord. And God inhabits the praises of his people. So when we're together, we're like, God, even like this morning, God, we worship you. You are the only one. There's sounds of praise, and that's where God inhabits. There's a sound of thankfulness. This morning we heard some prayers before the meeting. God, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you've done, what you want to do. And I'm sure in those times, like, God, thank you for raising Jesus from the dead. This man 2,000 years ago that was buried in Israel and now raised from the dead. Very good, Carlos. That was a good joke. But please keep mother-in-law. Keep her where she needs to be. But no, I got a good mother-in-law. But there was a man that was raised. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive and well. Thank you for this thankfulness, sounds of thankfulness, sounds of sweet worship. God loves sweet worship. When we worship him, in your hard times, in your struggles, worship the Lord. Push through. I would say if you're having a hard time in life, if you're struggling, if there's circumstances that you're facing right now, you should be up your front, dancing the highest, shouting the loudest, and clapping as hard as you can. Because it's in those moments where God breaks through. Sometimes you might see us dancing up front here. It's like, I don't dance because I'm feeling good. I dance because of what God's done, but also what I'm trusting him for. If I'm dancing really high up front, it means I'm facing bigger things than you actually know about. And I was like, Lord, as I celebrate, as I dance, as I worship you, I'm trusting for breakthrough in my life. So don't stop dancing. Don't start looking down. Lift your eyes to the Maker. Sound of worship. Thanks, Carlos. Sounds of tears and joy. Two things where I've seen God move by his Spirit. In tearful times, oh, I've seen God move. Burying young babies over the past, where I've had with friends that have lost newborn kids, and just tears. I've seen how the Holy Spirit has pulled in during times like that. So it's not always just in the glorious, happy times. It's actually times where the Holy Spirit just comes and moves amongst us in times where we say, of sorrow, where there's tears, and then when there's joy. When there's joy, something about the joy of the Lord, how it attracts the Spirit of God. When there's life, when you come into a place like this morning, into a church service or a Wednesday community group, and you actually come with a smile, and you're like, hey, I'm here, how can I help? And there's actually a joy and a smile. Man, that attracts the presence of God. And the Holy Spirit will love that. The sound of prayer attracts the Father's heart. Prayer is beautiful, and we're going to look at that over the next few weeks. But I was brought up in prayer, and that's where I saw the Holy Spirit and have seen the Holy Spirit move. Even as a young boy, being brought up on that farm, I remember us chatting with John and sharing some of the examples of the last while, where I'd be a young boy, and guess what we would do every single night? We didn't have Netflix but when I was younger. Did you know we didn't have Netflix? Can you believe it, Luke? We did have squad cars. Who remembers squad cars? It's like this radio. You remember Jason? Yeah, you probably listened to it every, was it Thursday nights, I think. Yeah? But we would pray every single night. I was on a farm with my grandparents, family, people that were getting saved, delivered, demons fleeing, and we would pray every single night. And how beautiful that was. As I look back on the memories of that, I remember being a young boy, actually, and as we were praying, the power of God would come, the Holy Spirit would enter the room, and as people were praying, they'd fall over right by me, and I'd be like this little boy playing with his little dinky cars, and all of a sudden I'd have a new motocross track, I'd go over the guy's head, and it's like, at all these moments. And then one time we're under the table, and the guy falls, and so I'm under the table playing over this guy's head. Next thing, this demon, pretty bad, don't do that. But if you're older, if you're young, you can. But one time I'm under the table playing with this car, and people are praying, and all of a sudden moment again, this guy that's demon possessed starts running around and trying to chase my dad. And he, all of a sudden, he's trying to beat my dad, and then he sees a big kitchen knife. He picks up this kitchen knife that's probably about this long, and he starts grabbing this knife and chasing my dad around the table and around the room. And I'm this little boy on the table. I'm just watching his feet running around. The next thing, I see my grandpa. He comes under the table with me. It's like, of all things, he's supposed to be helping my dad. And he's like, he's got these big eyes. Eventually, this guy comes running towards my dad. Stand up quick, Dylan. This guy comes running towards my dad. Come with me with a knife. And my dad says, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. And this guy just goes flat down, lands under the table. My grandfather's like lying there. Just my grandma did him afterwards. He's like, where are you? But he was protecting his own life at the time. But these are moments that we experience in prayer, where God pulls into the room, demons flee, people are set free. That man became a minister of the gospel, serving the Lord to this day. So we see how God is just so interested in being part of our prayer life, and he's real, and he wants to be part of everything that we do. So pray, pray, pray continuously, and pray with people. Here's a good nugget. John sent this to me and it really helped me. Pray with people. If you're having a hard time praying alone, find somebody that you can pray with. That really helps. I often pray with my wife. Like, I'm struggling. I say, Karen, can you help me just get my mind focused? And in that time, we'll have one heart, one mind, one purpose, and it'll help us. And it's very similar to an onion. An onion on its own is pretty terrible, unless if you're trying to eat an onion. But if you put that onion into vinegar, is that right? And you add some spices and add some cool things, what do you get? Mr. Pickle. Where's Mr. Pickle this morning? He's not here. But you get pickled onions. And who likes pickled onions? All five of us. Good. I don't either, but that's good. But it's a lot better than an onion on its own most times. So there's a thing about being saturated, being together, where we are better together. So if you are battling in prayer, find somebody that you can pray with. The third thing, I'm winding down here. Is this good? Is this helpful? 2024, how does it relate to us? They were all filled. Everyone say all. Not some were filled. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a question for you. Is the Holy Spirit just for apostles in 4:12? No. I thought they were. No. Is the Holy Spirit just for elite group of elders that speak really well on a Sunday morning, like Dylan? Is it if you've been saved for 30 years and you've been in church every Sunday and community and you haven't missed it once, is the Holy Spirit for you? It is. Is it only for you? No, it is for all. Let's put up Acts 2:16-17. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be that God declares that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men, yes, that's me, your young men shall see visions. There's old men around here. Stuart, and your old men will dream dreams. Sorry, other way around. And your old men shall dream dreams. It's for all. For you, it's for me, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I love it. So it's a promise. This was a promise from Jesus before he was taken up to heaven. Acts 2:38-39. Let's read that real quick. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. It's for you. Whack the person quick next to you in case they're falling asleep. So it's for you, and it's for your children. If you're married, it's for your children, okay? If you're not single, don't do that yet, okay? But if you're married, it is for your children too. God wants to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. He wants to empower you. It's a power from above. I don't know how you can go through life without it. If you're a business person in this place, trying to do business, you're a man or a woman, and you're in the business field. I look across here, there's many of you. Trying to do business on your own strength, I would say, is almost impossible in this modern age. You will get it wrong. But trusting God and saying, Lord, I need wisdom. I need insight. I need foreknowledge of what's to come. I'm in business, and I see how just waiting in the mornings and saying, Holy Spirit, come and help me. I've got decisions to make. I'm working to different countries. Lord, I need to know the strategy of different areas. How do I do this thing? We need the Holy Spirit, and He intervenes. Man, I can guarantee you, as you wait on the Lord, He intervenes. It's a beautiful thing. If you're a parent in this place, oh, Jesus, Lord help you. Modern age, 2024, you need the Holy Spirit more than ever to raise your kids. And all the mothers are going, yes, Lord. You need the Holy Spirit. And all the kids go, yes, okay. You need the Holy Spirit. He's called the Paracletus. Paracletus will be your helper, your teacher. And your kids that are at school, who's got exams this week? Anybody? You got exams coming up? Phew. Lily, you need the Holy Spirit. I needed the Holy Spirit growing up at school. Man, I don't know how I passed. It was only through the Holy Spirit that I actually graduated matric. And just coming to that place like, Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. Help me remember what I've learned over the years. I've studied well. I've made myself well-learned. As I sit down and write my exam, please come and bring to remembrance. Holy Spirit, help me and watch what happens. God comes in those moments. I'm going to pray for you guys quick. Dylan, pray for the ones writing exams this week. Yeah.
And the students, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to pray for pretty much everyone that's going to write anything this week. I'm writing a test this on Friday, so pray for myself as well. So Lord, by your Holy Spirit, won't you come as we take in the knowledge, Lord God, that we retain it. And Father, that you would bring it to our forefront of our minds, Lord God, when we write our test, that we were found faithful, Lord God, not just to trust you to come and do it for us, Lord God, that we do the hard work, Lord God, but we retain that information, Lord God. And Father, I pray you with us and you give us peace in this time as we write, Lord God, and glory to you. In Jesus' name.
Yeah, thanks, Lord. Lord, we pray for the teachers, yeah. Lift your hands up. If you're a teacher, there's a lot of teachers. Stand up real quick if you're a teacher. There's a ton of teachers. Stand up quickly. Yes. Yeah, really good. Lord, like we pray for parents with kids, we pray for these teachers that sow into their lives. God, help them, give them wisdom, give them patience, God. Give them patience. Come upon them afresh. Holy Spirit, right now, help them, Lord. Pray for Alta, God. Just touch her life right now, Jesus. Come upon her. Suzanne, Lord, in a special way. Won't some girls just get around? Krista, won't you pray for Alta right behind you there quickly, please? Just lay hands on her. Father, come by your mighty works this morning. Bring refreshing. Come, some ladies, just get around these teachers there. Just pray for them. Pray strength over them. Pray over their minds. God, that you'll keep them strong. Give them strength with the exams to all the markings that they have to do. Come this morning afresh, Lord Jesus, right now. Come, Jesus. Come, Lord. Come, God. Singles in this place, you need the Lord more than ever too. Waiting for the right person. Trust God. Wait patiently for Him to act, the Bible says. Wait for Him. Trust Him that He's going to bring the right person at the right time. Don't sell out before the time. Don't sell out. Trust God, the Holy Spirit. Be in tune as He leads and He guides you. And watch how He brings exactly the right person at exactly the right time. Suddenly, that beautiful person walks in front of you and you're captivated. And all the folk, Paracletos, will be the one that brings comfort. As we get older, we become more lonely. And we trust for you this morning, if you're in a lonely place, that God will meet you. He'll be the one that will really be on the side of you at all times. And finally, the biggest and greatest thing of this, as I finish, in Acts it says that you will receive power, the power of the Holy Spirit as it comes upon us. And that translates into boldness. Boldness to be witnesses to the ends of the world, starting in Melbourne, to the country of South Africa, across into the nations, wherever God takes you. The Holy Spirit comes and says, this is the reason, not just to feel good on a Sunday morning that you might fall over or experience like a whatever it might be, but that you will be powered and explosive, dynamite, dynamos, into the nations of the world. And that's what God is doing with us in Josh Gen and 412. If you're part of Melbourne, you're going to see many people coming in and out through this place. Leaders being raised up and sent out. It's been challenging over the last 16 years, seeing many of our best friends come and then being sent out. But it's what we've been called for, is to release, to raise up and release. And with boldness, God's going to come in and saturate our lives and take over. So we're trusting for that. So even this morning, that as we speak about the Holy Spirit, as we speak about Pentecost, that in the year of 2024, that we will receive this power from on high, that God will come in and take care of every moment, everything in our lives. Question again, are you ready? Are you ready for the suddenly moments? God, come in those suddenly moments. We're waiting for you. We trust for you. Jan, I'm going to ask you just come up on the guitar if you can. Just to make sure people are tired of my voice, just to have a little bit of background. It's quite cool. You're awesome. Well done this morning, yeah? Really good. Beautiful, Jesus. Suddenly moments. Steve, Chris, back there. Yeah, God woke me up at 3 o'clock this morning. Just for you and Eileen, your family. It's like, Lord, I'm trying to sleep. I need to sleep. It's like, just when, God? When, God? And he said, wait patiently. You're serving, been faithful with little, trusted with much. Just a reminder, keep your eyes on the cross for you and your family, beautiful family. When's it going to happen? In his timing. Just trusting that God is going to break through. I don't know the details. I don't know the circumstances. Beautiful family. Watched the last 16 years of being part of your guys' lives and just seeing the ups and downs. But you've been an example. And serving again on AV, the simple things. Serving, saying, Holy Spirit, here I am. Faithful with a little. And he sees that. He sees your heart. So the fact that he woke me up at 3 o'clock means he really loves you. He loves your family. Gary, lay hands on Steve quick and his family. They're just, Helena, lay hands on them there quick. Rob. Father, we thank you for the Cross family, being a part of so many lives. Even behind the scenes, Lord, we don't know what happens. The giving, the heart to serve you. And Father, this morning, Holy Spirit, won't you come afresh? Even Alina, she's right now with the kids, ministering in the back, serving there. Being faithful with little. God, won't you come? Even in the mess of the big, yeah, you stop and care about the one, Lord. So, Father, you know the details. But us as a family, as a congregation of faith, stand with them this morning. Say, thank you, Jesus, for adding them to us. Bless them, keep them, Lord. Bring the breakthrough that's needed where it's needed, Lord. We trust you, Holy Spirit. Fill their lives. Fill them with power, Lord, that they will continue to be witnesses, unashamed of the goodness of God and the calling you have on their lives, whatever it looks like, God, that you will fill the dots and do what you want to do, Lord. We thank you for them, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. I don't know about you, but I'm hungry. I need more of the Holy Spirit daily. I leak. I'm like a tire that's got this slow leak. Around again and goes pumped up, full of the Holy Spirit. And Pentecost Sunday is kind of a reminder for us. One of the ingredients, one of the things that Josh Jen was birthed out of. May we be those that are full of power, this dynamite of God, walking witnesses, wherever God places us. And as I finish, I had this picture this week. I was in the water and God kind of showed me a picture of a sports car, and I'm going to use a Porsche 919 as an example. I don't know if you know the Porsche 919, but it's a really cool Porsche. I love Porsches. But it's got this button on it, and it's called a turbo supercharger. And when you push this button, this thing just excels and screams to over 200 miles per hour. It's crazy speeds. But you can drive this Porsche all your life, yet never push this button. Imagine one day you go to the Porsche factory. Where is it, in Germany? I don't know. I think it's Germany. Mr. Porsche, is it in Germany? Do you know Porsche 919? Have you heard of it? Yes, good. Somebody knows it. Okay, great. And imagine you go to the factory one day and you say, I've got a Porsche 919. They say, no way. That's like millions and millions of dollars. How did you get that? Like, no, this thing is fast. I mean, I get to like 120 miles per hour. And the owner says to you, and when you push the button, what happens? When you push the turbo, what happens? Like, what turbo? I've never pushed the button. I think it'll be very similar for us. One day as Christians, like, get to heaven, And God says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've done well. How do you go with the Holy Spirit? You're like, Holy Spirit? Was there a Holy Spirit? In the same way, as we activate it, we say, God, here I am. Fill me with your presence. That's what God will do. He'll come in flux. He'll push that red button or black button, whatever it is. And you start full of power, full of the Spirit of God. No matter what circumstance you're facing, God will move mountains in and through you. So let's stand together this morning. My question I started with. Are we ready? Are you ready to walk in the fullness of what God has? Don't just be a nominal Christian going day to day. Be full of the power of God. The Holy Spirit wants to activate, wants to move through you into the nations, not just in Melkbos, but through you for the name's sake of Jesus, that he can get all glory and all honor. So let me pray for us. God, thank you for Pentecost, 50 days after you were taken up, representing and signifying a significant time in history where you poured out a promise of the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, you said you want to empower us. Won't you come afresh this morning? I think each one of us would have that cry, would have that call in our hearts. Say, Lord, come and fill us up this morning. Fill us afresh. Holy Spirit, all those areas that we touched on, the singles, the older people, the married people, all these areas of life in the year of 2024, will you come this morning and do what only you can do and breathe like a mighty rushing wind? Suddenly moments, even this week, as we go into the workplace, as we go and working around the house, whatever it might be, that we'll have these suddenly moments that we will all be filled with the Spirit of God. Is that your cry this morning? Is that your prayer? I know it's mine. And I could invite us up here and do the normal church thing and say, let's pray for you. And Dylan might do that. I'm going to hand over to Dylan in a minute. He's leading the service. But can we, just as a sign of, as a people, say, just lift your hands. And I don't like asking people to lift their hands for no reason, but when it's significant, saying, God, I surrender my life. Won't you fill me this morning? Holy Spirit, come afresh into this week that I put you first. I'll wait patiently for you. I'll situate myself, and then I'll see you act the way you want to do it. I'll be obedient to what you say, the obedience aspect. As I hear your voice, that you'll come and speak clearly into my life where I need to be and walk in faith. It's all activated in faith, God. So this morning, upon your people, upon this beautiful congregation, upon these families, won't your face shine upon us this morning, God? Holy Spirit, won't you fill, infill, refill, overflowing, ever flowing into the lives of all this morning, God. We worship you and we say we are ready this morning. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.